The following podcast is a proud member of the Blue Collar Roots Network. Find all the shows by visiting bluecollarroots.com.
Yeah, and he didn't have to cut his ear off. Cut his ear off. Good morning. My name is Tom Jackson with Jackson Systems here in Indianapolis, Indiana, and you're listening to the Service Business Masters. I cannot say that word.
It's such a tongue twister.
That is a tough word because it is something you don't say mastery that often. Okay, we'll give it a try here. Good morning. My name is Tom Jackson with Jackson Systems here in Indianapolis, Indiana, and you're listening to the Service Business Mastery podcast with Tersh Blissett.
I appreciate you coming on the podcast with us, Tom. I know you're a busy guy and taking some time out of your day to talk with us.
Oh, well, thank you very much. We've really enjoyed doing the podcast. I think this is number 7 or 8 for me, and I always have a lot of fun with these, so I truly appreciate the opportunity.
Just getting started, how did you get into the podcasting network? I knew of Jackson Systems, but not as much so until I started really diving into the podcasting with HVAC.
Honestly, the way I got into it, I got a phone call from Brent and then an email from Zach over at Working Joe's Roundtable, which is now the HVAC Shop Talk. And Brent had tracked me down, and that's kind of how it started. And then once I did that first podcast with Zach and Ralph, the floodgates kind of opened, and done a bunch since then. So
I said, "Ooh, fresh meat."
Yeah, I was very appreciative to Zach and the gang.
You know that we're part of the Blue Collar Network, Service Business Mastery. So we have a whole bunch of guys that we always bounce ideas off of. And whenever I was first talking to them about talking to you, one of the things that everybody was saying, and Bill and Zach and everybody, they were like, you got to ask him why it always sounds like he has a smile on his face and why he's always smiling. What is the reason for that? It's a very good point, because every time you hear you anytime, it's like, he's such a happy guy.
Well, thank you. That was very kind of everyone, for sure. I think at the root of it all is I'm very blessed. No matter how you cut it, whether it's I've got great parents or great company, a great family, and we live in the United States, we are so blessed. So at the root of it all, I think that's it. And definitely thank God for that. And then on a more practical level, I do try to remain positive and upbeat, because I think that's really contagious. If you're positive and energized with what's going on around you, that's contagious, and that'll spill over, whether it be your coworkers or whether it's if you're volunteering at an organization. It's a great way to get everyone gelled together and really push forward with a common goal. So I do work hard to try to definitely remain positive. So
yeah, kind of like that honey versus vinegar type thing.
Yep, absolutely.
So could you tell us a little bit about Jackson Systems, how it got started, how long you've been in business?
Well, Jackson Systems has been around for almost 21 years in its current state. I started the company in 1997 with my parents. My parents own 50%, and then I own 50% of the company. But before that, and I won't go into great detail and bore everyone to death, but my father has been doing HVAC controls his entire life. I mean, he started in high school actually taking HVAC classes. When he was in the military, he did HVAC. And then shortly after all of that, he went to work for a company called Barber Coleman, which was one of the three big powerhouses in the control industry. There was Barber Coleman, Honeywell, and another company called Powers. Barber Coleman has since kind of morphed in to be part of Robert Shaw, but he worked as their service manager here in Indianapolis for 5 years. And then after that, he decided he wanted to do his own thing and started a company that's still in business today called Jackson Control. And they were one of the very first, if not the first, independent Honeywell commercial distributor in the country. So he used to make big custom commercial controls. He did that for almost 20 years and then sold that company. And then back in the late 1980s, he developed all the zoning products for a company called Interstat out of Canada, which eventually became part of Robert Shaw as well. And then after all those arrangements ran out and I had graduated from engineering school, him and I decided to give this a run. And that's kind of how we started Jackson Systems.
So that's really cool. So whenever you talk about Honeywell, anything to do with Honeywell, it really runs deep within your family.
Oh, yeah. I mean, my father has been super involved with Honeywell since the early 60s and has had a great relationship. And it was funny because back in that day, everyone thought that he was kind of setting himself up for failure by starting his own company because of the big Honeywell and Barbara Coleman, they're like, well, they're never going to allow you to be successful. And as it turned out, Honeywell and Barbara Coleman and those guys became some of my father's biggest customers because they wanted the big jobs, the big gigantic hospitals or universities. So the littler stuff, they actually worked with my father in order to get some of that business. And so my father found this real niche in the industry doing not the gigantic job, but the smaller jobs. And it just worked out really well. So it ended up, not only did he buy Honeywell product, but he also sold to Honeywell when they needed help on some of the different jobs that they were working on. So it's been an interesting relationship for a number of years. And we still actually maintain that relationship today because a lot of people know us because when we started the company, the only thing we did was the forced air zoning. But through the years, we've become heavily involved with thermostats. So not only do we compete against Honeywell on the zoning side, although they're quite a bit larger than we are, but we're also one of their largest customers. We sell a tremendous amount of Honeywell thermostats. So it's always been this interesting two-way relationship that we've had with Honeywell, and we're very thankful for it. Honeywell is a great company. They are big, and sometimes we get frustrated working with large organizations, but at the end of it all, they do make a great product, and especially the people that we work with at Honeywell, they're just great people. So
that's really cool. A lot of the guys that are listening to this, they may be a service tech thinking about becoming a business owner, and those guys, in the back of their mind, I know a lot of them consider there's a lot of big guys in town and they're going to hate me if I start my own business. And there is a little bit of that resentment, but you can scratch each other's back also, because there's some jobs that the bigger guys just don't want. And so then they're like, if you develop a relationship with those guys, you're not backbiting each other. Then whenever that comes up, then it's easy for them to say, oh, well, this guy does really good work. And that's kind of his niche market versus what our niche market is.
Yeah, absolutely. If an employee sees an opportunity to start their own thing, hopefully the company that they're going to be leaving has trained them well. And if that new technician goes out and starts his own company, he's got the proper education. He knows how to size equipment or how to lay out ductwork, and he becomes a great competitor. And there's plenty of business out there for everyone. If they come out and they start trained and they're a good competitor and they just don't go to the lowest common denominator of pricing, that's a good thing, because if the industry as a whole is getting more education and we're doing a better job for our end users, that's great for everyone. There's plenty of business, and that means the profits will rise for everyone. And at the end of it all, we'll all be in a better spot for sure.
Yeah, the worst thing in the world is to kind of hide that information from employees. So when they do go and leave the company and then they start their own thing, if they are pricing things way wrong, they may take some of your customers, but then customers may come back to you eventually. But if the new guys knew how to price things properly and have proper profit margins, it's a lot better for everybody. I feel like truly that if the owners would quit hiding how to price jobs from employees, it's going to make the whole world a better place.
Absolutely. Yep.
I'm pretty sure I know the answer to some of this, but I want to know, who's your idol inside and outside the HVAC industry?
Well, inside, I came up with two. That's my father and my brother. My older brother also works for us. Not only are they super smart when it comes to controls, and my older brother heads up our DDC division, but their work ethic is like nothing I've ever seen. My brother, who's actually 7 years older than I am, he literally gets to work at 5 o'clock every morning still. He doesn't need to do that, but he is just really, really committed. And of course, my father, since he was in high school, has had this work ethic and this passion for knowledge. Both of them are, from a technical standpoint, are way above my skill set. And they go home every night and they read and they study and do all the things that it takes to be successful. So inside the industry, I definitely say my father, Ron, and my brother, Joe. Outside, I'll have to throw my parents in there still for a lot of those reasons, as we all do. Parents are such a vital part of our lives and allowing us to become the people that we are. I came up with two others, and I'll keep them brief, but the first one, I'm going to categorize it two different ways. Someone that's currently living and then someone that's no longer with us. And the person who I came up with outside the industry is Dave Ramsey, who's the financial guru. I don't know if you've ever heard him.
If you haven't heard of him, you probably live under a rock.
Yeah, well, that's probably true. Not only from a personal finance, but his business program now that he calls Entree Leadership are just world class, and we here at Jackson System sure haven't figured it all out, but some of the things that he's doing with his organization are just incredible, and hopefully we can learn from Dave and his team and take that and repurpose that here at Jackson System, become a better organization. And then the person I picked that's no longer living is Lord Baden Powell, who is the founder of the Boy Scouts over in England. And for those of you that have read up on me, know that I'm super involved with the scouting program. My older brothers we're all Eagle Scouts from the same troop, and my son's in Scouts. And it's just been a major part of my life ever since I was 8 years old, even through college. And now with my son in the program and lots of nephews in the program, his insight into teaching young men, and for that matter, women, as Lord Baden Powell's sister started Girl Scouting. It's changed my life. The leadership qualities and the things that you learn in Scouts, the self-reliance are just critical. So that's who I picked. A little obscure there, but
those were really good ones. I mean, with the entree leadership, I actually listen to Ken Coleman's podcast. I listen to him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Every week whenever he releases. Those guys over there, Entree Leadership Group, they're on point. If you take their thought process to heart, you could really make a profitable company.
Yeah, I wish I had all that insight when we started Jackson Systems. It would have been much, much smarter.
Yeah, and then the Boy Scouts, it's really great. I was in Boy Scouts whenever I was younger. I didn't make it all the way to Eagle Scout, but it teaches you so much great things that you're not going to learn playing video games or with technology, and it's crazy the things. My son, my oldest, is in Scouts, and I'll go through his Cub Scout book with him, and we'll go through and work on the patches and everything, and it's really cool to get out there and get hands-on with all the stuff.
I'll say that when my son was involved in Cub Scouts, we enjoyed that. But for me, the real fun started when they bridge over to Boy Scouts, because there's a lot more camping and high adventure, whether that be caving or rock climbing. So I don't know how old your son is.
Nine. He just turned
9. Okay. So he's got a couple more years before he bridges over, but it's an awesome program. And like you mentioned, they get to do things that they wouldn't do any other way if they weren't involved in Scouts. So it's wonderful.
We live on about 250 acres. And so we do a lot of the scouting things. But yeah, I definitely, if I was living anywhere else that wasn't where I couldn't go out the back door and go camping or whatever, it helps out a ton, that's for sure.
Awesome. That's great.
Just for those you don't know, I have a little checklist. And if you've listened to the podcast before, you know that I love checklists, and Brian makes fun of my checklist. But the next thing on my checklist, I'm going to put a pin in it for just a few more minutes. But if you had to start over your company, would you do it? And if you did, would you do it differently?
Well, if I had to start over, or if I could start over, would I? No, I would not start over. That is as simple as I've learned so much. And if I had that wisdom when I started, would things be better? Sure. But life is definitely a journey, as cliche-ish as that is. And what we've learned makes us stronger and wiser about future decisions. So I would not want to start over, because we've just grown so much as a company, as individuals, as a team. And the other thing is that our future at Jackson Systems, I think, is incredibly bright. We're really optimistic. We've got lots of big plans ahead of us. And I'm excited to be at this point in the history or the evolution of Jackson Systems. So no, I would not want to start over. What would I do differently if I did start over, though? There's a couple things. One, and this relates right back to Dave Ramsey, I would not have borrowed money, commercial loan. So I would have slowed growth or whatever, but that's water under the bridge now. And the other thing is, my father is obviously very product focused, and I have an engineering degree, so I'm kind of technical, product focused. We're not salespeople. So my father and I have always just kind of had this philosophy, if we build a good product, they will come and buy. And there's a little bit of truth to that. But what I've learned over the last 20 years is that it's really about relationships, and we should have put probably more emphasis on that aspect, the relationship building, whether you want to call that sales or whatever. That would have been a key thing. We were very active on the advertising / marketing front, not as aggressive on the relationship side or the sales side. So I definitely would have probably spent a little less time thinking that if we build this great zoning panel or whatever, they will come, and more time out there talking to people.
That's one of the things that I tell the new guys whenever I'm talking to them, especially in this podcast, is that a lot of us were great technicians. We were great doing what we were doing. But whenever you get out there in the field, when you start your business, we all kind of have that assumption. If we do great work, the customers will flock to us. They will come. If you build it, they will come mentality. when in reality, you need to network, you need to join your chamber of commerce. If you're going to be local, you need to get out there in the field or in the community and build those relationships. Like you said, if you do something like that, you'll see a lot more growth if that's your goal than what you will if you're just doing really, really good work. Now, if you can do both of them at the exact same time, you're probably just, that's going to be a perfect combination.
Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't agree more.
What do you feel differently about the industry when you were in your 20s, your 30s, or I'm not assuming that you're 40 or 50 now. I don't know.
I am 47.
Okay. So in your early 40s and versus now, how do you see the industry has its progress? I know technology has been probably a big boom since you've been in.
I wrote down two things. One was the role of technology, and two was relationships versus the product development, which we've kind of already talked about. But I've always loved technology, computers, and all those sort of things. I mean, I guess that's why I went to engineering school. But if you go back to the early 90s or whatever, while there were some level of controls out there, some DDC stuff on the commercial side, I don't think anyone could have predicted where we're at today with connected thermostats and sensors and indoor air quality monitoring and the Internet of Things and all of this. That was something that I think it all kind of took us a little bit by surprise how well that's been adapted. And then the other interesting thing is, what role is the Amazons and the Googles of the world? How are they involved with our industry, and what disruption are they going to cause? And that's still, we know that there's been a lot of disruption, but I'm guessing there is still a lot more to come. And how do we, as members of the HVAC community, fit into that? Or how do we control that? Or how are we become part of that movement? And that's something, as a business owner, I talk about and deal with on a daily basis.
I feel like you're taking that bull by the horns with your business itself, and you're probably affected by it more so than even we are. Amazon Home Services and Google Home Services, those are going to affect us, especially if anybody's listening on the West Coast. I know that they're already doing it a good bit over there, more so than here on the East Coast. But I feel like with your filter fetch program, you've kind of taken that, okay, so Amazon's going to sell air filters, so we're going to do it better type mentality.
Absolutely. And of course, whenever we decide on a direction with something we're doing, we always look through the glass and how does it impact the HVAC contractor? Because they're our customer base. So we want to develop things that help support the HVAC community. So whether it be something like FilterFetch, where we have lots of competition out there, but most of that competition is a company selling filters directly to the homeowner, whereas with us, FilterFetch is a program that's administered by the contractor. So we always view things through the world of the contractor and not through the world of the end user. So,
well, that's a good little transition into my next little point. What is the benefit of using your FilterFetch program?
Well, a couple of things with FilterFetch, and I think we'll be talking a little bit more about this, but is anytime you can come up with a residual income stream is a very good thing, and FilterFetch is definitely one of those. Also, that residual income, it helps even out the highs and lows of business. HVAC industry is notoriously known for being cyclical. During the fall and spring, we're not as busy as during the summer months or the winter months. So having something like FilterFetch that helps even that out, or always has this base of income coming in, is such a great thing for the HVAC industry. And I think with that comes a peace of mind. If you know, even if the phone doesn't ring today, I know that I've still got stuff going on in the background selling filters to my customer base. That's always a really nice thing. And with FilterFetch specifically, also, there's really no overhead for the contractor. So there's no real cost associated with it. So in a sense, it's like pure profit. And that's a really nice feeling too. If we could all do things that were pure profit, it would be wonderful. So those are some of the reasons why I think that FilterFetch and programs like FilterFetch are so critical for a contractor.
So if somebody's listening to this and they're just, what are you talking about? What is FilterFetch? Can you explain to everybody what it does and how it's priced? Like, is it going to be a lot more expensive? Is it going to be cheaper than going to a box store, or what is all that?
Well, FilterFetch, kind of our tagline is that it puts you back in the filter business, and you being the contractor. As we know, a lot of homeowners, they'll jump on Amazon or they'll run down to Lowe's or Home Depot or Menards and try to buy filters, and then that eliminates you from that equation, meaning you're not going to get profit. You're going to lose contact with the customer. So when we set out and designed Filter Fetch, we decided we have to come up with a way that would allow the contractor to get back into the filter business. So the way that it works is when the contractor is in the home, or you wouldn't necessarily even have to be in the home. You could technically do it over the phone just as easy. Basically, each contractor is assigned a code. So they have their own unique 4 or 5 digit code. And then each filter is also assigned a code. And then the way that we track that is by the homeowner's email address. So now we know who the homeowner is, who the contractor assigned to that homeowner is, and what filter goes into that home. So say the service technician's in the home, we have a little app that goes with Filter Fetch. You can show the homeowner a couple little videos that are on the app, how Filter Fetch works. You give the homeowner their 8-digit code. And then whenever they want, the homeowner can go to filterfetch.com and enter that code. And the only thing they can do on filterfetch.com is enter a code. And that will actually pop up a page that actually has the contractor's, it'll be branded with the contractor's logo and contact information. And it'll have that filter that that homeowner needs for that particular furnace. And then they enter their credit card information. And we, as Jackson Systems /FilterFetch, will ship the filters directly to the homeowner. And then the contractor doesn't have to touch the filter. They don't have to do anything but collect the profit. As far as the contractor side goes, they do have their own dashboard. What they do is they log in with their login and password into the dashboard of Filter Fetch, and they can actually see all of their actual costs of all the filters. So you know, as Mr. Contractor, you know, this particular filter is going to cost you $20. And that $20 includes the cost of the filter as well as the shipping to ship it to that homeowner. We can ship anywhere in the continental United States. After you know your cost, you can actually set your pricing to be whatever you want it to be. So if the cost of the filter is $20, you want to sell it to Mr. or Mrs. Homeowner for $30. Once a month, we'll take all of your sales and whatever profits you've set, and we'll send you a check for that profit. And then on the back end, we do all the fulfillment, we do all the shipping, we do all the credit card processing. We actually have 2 toll-free numbers. We have a toll-free number for the contractor they can call into our office. And one of the young ladies that handles our Filter Fetch program can help a contractor with any questions they've got, training, if they want to do a webinar to train their technicians. And then we also have a toll-free number for the homeowner. So say they get a damaged filter or something, we really don't want the contractor to have to deal with that. They've got other things they can be doing to make a lot more money than dealing with returning a damaged filter from FedEx or whoever. So we have a toll-free number specifically for the homeowners, and we really try to make it as simple as possible. The only other little part of the Filter Fetch program is once the contractor gets the homeowner's email address and gets it into the system, then we will send the homeowner an email reminder when it's time to change the filters. And that email will be branded as if it's coming from the contractor, so it'll have their logo and all the things. And then we also send them an email reminder when it's time to order filters. And typically we're shipping out either a 6-month or a year supply of filters. We are in the process, we will have shortly, if someone wants to send filters every month, we can do that. I don't know why people would want to do that, honestly, just because the freight charges will be a little much. But if you want to build that into your part of your performance agreement or your service agreement, then you can definitely do that. And then we'll also have an auto renew feature. Right now, we currently don't. Right now, the homeowner would have to go back in and enter their credit card information. But shortly, we will have the ability for them to auto renew. So that'll just keep going until the homeowner actually logs in and cancels their subscription.
So really quick, what are the 2 1-800 numbers? Do you know them off the top of your head?
One for the contractor I know is 888-359-0366. Again, 888-359-0366. And I've done quite a few podcasts, and you're the first person that's asked me for the toll-free numbers. I should know those.
I guess I'm doing my job, huh?
I know a regular toll-free number, but that one I had not memorized, so.
And then the website for the contractors.
For the contractors, what they can do is they can just go to jacksonsystems.com/filterfetch. Or if they just go to jacksonsystems.com, you'll see there'll be a link there on the homepage that takes you to Filter Fetch. But if they want the direct link, it's jacksonsystems.com/filterfetch.
This may be a one that you haven't had before. Maybe it is one you get all the time. Do you have it set up so that we could do the same thing for commercial side? So that if we had like a commercial customer that they're adamant about changing their own filters every month.
Sure, yes. What I just described is our normal filter fetch program. We do have another spinoff of filter fetch. We call it click and ship, which the process of sending the filters, we still ship the filters directly to the commercial building in this case. But instead of the building owner actually paying for the filters, we can actually invoice the contractor, and then the contractor can bill the end user. So we can do it either way. One of our largest filter fetch customers is mostly residential, but they prefer us to bill them, and then they handle the billing on with their customer on the back end. But that scenario with the click and ship might work a little better for commercial customers, where we could ship the filters directly to the building and then let the contractor handle the billing side of it. So either way, but yeah, we definitely have commercial companies using the program as well. And then the other question that comes up that I hadn't addressed is people want to know, well, what filters do you carry? And we pretty much carry every filter. So we have the 1-inch throwaway that you would expect, but then we also carry all the true OEM filters. So, I mean, we carry the true Train filters, the true Carrier filters, Linux filters, Dynamic, April Air. We carry all of them. Because what we're hoping for the benefit of both the contractor and the homeowner is that you're selling them a higher end filter, a higher MERV filter. If you can get them into something, a MERV 11 or a MERV 13, you know, a Space Guard filter, April Air filter, that's a win-win. And so we really hope that the contractor will use that as an opportunity to upsell to a higher quality filter, which also means it's going to be more profit for the contractor.
I'm probably one of those contractors that would say, if somebody calls me and asks me for an air filter, I would say we don't carry any air filters, because if we carried an air filter for every size system, we would have to pull a trailer behind each van. So we typically will send them towards the Lowe's or Home Depot or Menards or whatever. And I've offered to drop ship it from my supply house, say, hey, I can get it from my supply house and have them drop ship it and then pass it along. So something like this would be just so much more simple. So they have it right there on their unit. If their furnace is in the garage, or where would you say put the placement? Because here we have a ton of air handlers because we're a heat pump market, that are in the attics, and that customer typically is not going to climb up in the attic, but their return, they'll have one central return that's going to be in the hallway somewhere. Where would you put the sticker in that situation?
We offer, and we just basically sell them at cost. We actually have a refrigerator filter magnet reminders. So that's probably the best thing, is if your air handler's up in the attic, some guys just make their own. They go down to Staples and buy a big bag of just magnets, like business card magnets, and they'll print out a Dymo label and just put the code right on there. If you want to order them from us, they're a little nicer because, you know, they actually got the filter fetch logo and email or website address and everything on there. But probably the refrigerator filter would be the best. And of course, the other key for all this is that once we get their email address, we're going to be sending them reminders when it's time to change. And that's all done automatically. You don't have to do anything as the contractor. We handle all of that whole process of sending out the email reminders.
That stay on top of mind awareness is worth not even getting the profit for the filter, honestly. Like if you can just get, you're right in front of the customers nonstop every month, that's worth $1 million, it seems like. It really is worth everything. What else does Jackson Systems offer? I know that you guys offer a whole lot of stuff ranging from thermostats that are logoed to zoning systems that are great. Now, with the zoning systems, I have the Train zoning system that's similar to what you sell, but mine acts real janky and I'm always frustrated with it. But can you go into a little bit of detail about your zoning system and everything?
Sure. Well, like I mentioned earlier, when we started the company, zoning was the only thing that we did. I mean, even though my father was heavily involved on the commercial side most of his career, when we developed this current line of zoning, although it's been through a bazillion iterations since we've started, only thing we pretty much did was residential zoning. And we didn't even really sell thermostats or any other control products. But through the years, we've just grown. And it didn't take us very long to realize that if we're going to be zoning experts, we also need to be thermostat experts. So we started offering thermostats. We were selling Honeywell early on and April Air and Robert Shaw and all that. But back in the late 1990s, we realized that if we could help contractors private label their thermostats, what an opportunity to, again, stay in front of the customer. So I think if you took a survey and you asked people, what they know about Jackson systems, I think even the thermostat imprinting is probably even more well known than the zoning or filter fetch, because we do it all in-house. I mean, Honeywell and White Rogers and April Air, all the big boys will do thermostat imprinting, but it's like a 2-week lead time. It's higher quantities. We only ask that you buy 6 at a time, and we do it the same day. So you literally order imprinted thermostats from us today. We imprint them here almost always the same day. It's maybe the next day, just depending on what time it is, and we ship them out. So that is such an important aspect for the contractor, is what a opportunity. We just heard a survey from Honeywell, just published a survey that people look at their thermostat 9 times a day. And of course, the only thing that a homeowner knows, if they become uncomfortable, if it's the middle of summer and they start getting hot, the only thing they know to do is go to their thermostat and look at it. Beyond that, most of the time, they're not going to know anything about how an air conditioner works or refrigerant or any of that stuff. So the only thing they know to do is look at their thermostat. And if your name and phone number is right there in front of them, we think that that's a win-win deal for the homeowner, because they're going to call the contractor that's the expert for that particular system. They're not going to go to Google and search HVAC contractor and X city and pull up your competition. It's a great way to stay in front of them. And we do it such that it looks really nice. It looks like it's coming directly from the factory. It's your actual logo. It's just not block letter. It looks really professional. And since we do it for free, I just think
that's a no-brainer.
It's really a no-brainer. Well, every once in a while, a contractor will run across a homeowner that doesn't want it for whatever reason. That's fine. You have one blank thermostat on your truck or whatever back in the shop. But we've sold hundreds and hundreds of thousands of thermostats through the years. And I can literally count on the number of times on one hand where we've had a contractor call us and say, hey, we've got an upset homeowner because we've got our logo on there.
Yeah, it's really funny. In the past, we've purchased ours straight directly from Honeywell. And like you said, we had to buy them like 2 cases at a time. And it was several weeks lead time on those. But I'll get a customer that'll call and say, hey, we just moved into this house and we need you to come look at the unit. My thermostat's broken or not working right. Because everybody assumes that the thermostat's what the problem is with the system because it's blank or whatever.
Yep.
So on passing conversation, just getting to know the customer, we'll say, okay, well, what kind of thermostat is it? We know, because the only ones we have logoed are Honeywell Pro 5000. So we know it's a Honeywell 5000. And this particular customer said, well, it's a TriStar thermostat. I'm like, what do you mean? Well, no, that's what it says. It says TriStar. That's what kind of thermostat it is. Okay, well, thank you. We'll be out there shortly. You know, it's funny.
They say the average person moves every 7 years, and if they move and your thermostat's on the wall, well, guess who the new people moving in are going to call?
Exactly. It's almost you want to go to the realtors and say, hey, these people are moving. Let me give you a free thermostat. Your $50, $60, $70, whatever, $80, $200, whatever thermostat you put on there. And that's worth the investment for that. We're doing the 5,000s, like I told you. I was told by our supply house that the 5,000s are going away and the new ones will not be logoed.
That is true. Honeywell is at some point, still yet to be determined, the Focus Pro line, which is interesting. It's the world's best-selling thermostat, the Focus Pro line, is going away.
Yeah. When I was told that, I was like, but that's what everybody sells.
And so they're going to the T-Series. And the good thing from the contractor standpoint on T-Series versus the Focus Pro is they're going from, and I may be off by 1 or 2, but I think there's 27 different versions of the Focus Pro, and there's only 8 versions of the T-Series to cover the exact same thing. I've heard different things from Honeywell at different times, and that's partly because it's new, and I don't think they've figured it out. I have heard that they will be able to imprint, and then sometimes they won't be able to imprint, so I don't know the final verdict on that, but we can imprint all of them with the exception of the very top model is what they call Lyric, T6 Lyric, because it's Wi-Fi connected, and the very top model has a glass screen on it. There's really no plastic on it, so if you want to imprint that, and we have this issue on a couple other thermostats like the Nest that we carry and Ecobee, those have glass fronts. So the only thing that we can imprint on is the wall plate that comes with it. So But all the other T-Series, even there's two Lyric T-Series stats, the second highest, there's no issue in printing on that. And then the rest of the T6 series, the T4 series, and the T1 series, it all look pretty much the same. They have the same footprint. They use the same swappable, they call it the universal wall plate, I think is what the technology term they use. So you'll be able to pop off a T1 if it was new construction. You're just trying to sell them the least expensive thing. You could literally pop off the front of the T1, put a brand new T6 Lyric on there, and you don't have to change any of the wiring.
Oh, wow. That's really convenient. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, and rumor has it, now this has not happened, but in the upcoming years, the Vision Pro 8000 and then what they call the Prestige, or some people refer to them as the 9000, depending on which model you get, those will also go to that exact same subbase at some point in the future. You'll be able to go from their least expensive to their most expensive thermostat without changing any wiring at all.
That's really convenient. So I'm ignorant with this because my company, I've made so streamlined. So we have two capacitors. We carry the turbos and we carry the 5000s and we carry the 824s on the van, the train thermostats on the van. That's what we carry. So when it comes to the T-Series, I'm pretty ignorant to the whole situation. But would you wire it up like a T1 as if it was a T9 already? Because I'm assuming you have to have like a BK jumper because of, well, dealing with train stuff anyways.
I think what you're asking is, so say you put in a new system, brand new heat pump or whatever, or maybe it's just a single stage furnace and air conditioner, whatever the case may be, you put a T1 on there because at the time that's all they really wanted. But since you're not changing the HVAC equipment itself, you could literally pull off the T1 thermostat, leave the subbase with all the wiring, and go get a T6 Lyric, which is the Wi-Fi enabled one, and literally just snap it on there. And you would be good to go without changing any wiring. Now, of course, if you change the equipment, you went from like single stage to multi-stage or something, then obviously you're going to have additional wiring that you would have to do. But if the equipment's remaining the same, they just want a new thermostat, then it's a no-brainer.
Makes perfect sense. I feel like an idiot not knowing. I mean, it's not one of those things I've ever researched.
It is really interesting, and I'm not sure what I think of this, but Honeywell, as a distributor, I think we've had 4 price increases this year on Focus Pros. And our sales of Focus Pros have not dropped off at all. They probably have actually increased, even though Honeywell has raised the price 4 times. The contractors are just saying, I don't want to change. I will pay the extra money, even though I can get the T-Series for less. And I get it.
It's so true because you're stuck in that way. I mean,
yeah.
Guys go into a turbo capacitor versus carrying 1,500 capacitors in a van. But see, now that I've done it, people talk to me about, well, just carry like all these $7 capacitors versus a $50 or $60 capacitor. Like, nope, you're not going to get me to change. I'm not changing. So
absolutely. Because the first time you don't have the right one on your truck, even though you're carrying all these different sizes, and you have to go to a supply house to get the right capacitor.
There's all that money that you saved for them $7.
Yep.
Well, cool. With the social media, because I know that Jackson Systems has gotten really big on social media. I've seen them a lot more. It could be because of Facebook's algorithm, because you know how they are. As soon as you click like one time and then you start seeing it and you haven't seen it in the past 5 years. But right before we got on, you said that you recently hired a new social media expert. So can you tell us a little bit how you feel like social media has changed marketing wise in recent months and years?
In recent months, of course, you go back just a few years ago and social media really wasn't, Facebook was around, but no one thought of it as a marketing tool like we do today for sure. So when you look at the last couple of years, I mean, it's the birth of a whole new industry. We used to think of social media as a way for us to stay in contact with our friends. And now, as business owners or people inside of a business, we really view it as a marketing tool that we have to be involved with. And while we take it very serious, we do not claim to be experts in any way. We're trying to figure it out just like everyone else is. I do believe that it's such a vitally important aspect for a contractor, because the people who are on Facebook or whatever social media platform that you're on, that's where your customers are. We're trying to navigate, well, I know that our customers, the HVAC contractors, are also on Facebook because that's where their customers are. So we're trying to figure out, how do we play into that bigger picture? But recently, we do believe that this trend's been going on for a long time, but customers are doing the vast majority of their research online, talking to friends via social media about who they recommend, what contractors they recommend, what equipment they recommend. By the time a homeowner reaches out to you as a contractor, they already know so much. They know a lot about the brands of equipment. They probably have some feel for pricing. They've talked to friends. So that aspect that the end users or the homeowners, building owners doing research is growing exponentially. As you alluded to, Facebook is getting smarter. So we see when we're doing some Facebook marketing, we see our reach is even greater than it was just a few months ago. We're touching more and more people with our efforts. And again, this is something I'm not an expert on, but I think Facebook recently introduced this relevance score. Facebook can actually tell you how effective your efforts are with your marketing. In other words, is it getting to the people that it needs to get to? So if we do something where we're trying to talk to HVAC contractors, it'll actually know that Mr. Smith owns ABC Heating, and it counts that as very relevant. Whereas if we send it to Mr. Jackson over in Boise, Idaho, that works in the local factory, he doesn't have anything to do with HVAC, that's not relevant. So it actually does a much better job of telling us how good we're doing with what we're trying to achieve. So that's a big deal.
That's really good when you're spending money on it. You don't want to spend money on the wrong target audience.
Absolutely. We also think, this is anecdotally, we don't have any hard data to back this up, but it seems like also there's more and more the older population, the older generations are starting to get a lot more heavily involved on the social media front. So when we're doing advertising, before everyone used to think of social media and all that as 20 and 30 year olds, but that has dramatically changed. So the demographics of who we're reaching is interesting, which is probably a good thing for us and probably a good thing for the HVAC contractor. If the average business owner is 40 or 50 years old, that's a good thing as we reach the older people. The majority of the homeowners out there probably are older people. So
most people, I feel like your target audience is the ones that can afford your higher end equipment. They're going to be in your older demographics. So that's going to help out a lot too. So cool. We don't want to go into too much detail about it because this is more about Jackson Systems than social media, what you can offer to the contractors. But I wanted to get your insight on that because I've seen you pop up on social media a lot lately. If somebody's on social media and wants to reach out to you, do you have an Instagram account?
Yep, we have an Instagram account.
Instagram, Facebook,
Twitter, LinkedIn. We do have a blog. If you just go to blog.jacksonsystems.com, we also have a house account, the HOUZZ, which is more focused on individual homeowners, but you know, we're starting to put some content out there as well, just letting people know that zoning exists, because a lot of people don't even understand that you can have multiple thermostats on a single piece of equipment. We're trying to do a little bit of pull through education with the end user on some of the cool things that are out there.
Education is one of the main things, especially when you come to the blog and you're using sources like Houzz or Pinterest, and people, they see that they have three thermostats, so they assume they have three systems. So it's nice to be able to educate them on zoning. But zoning is pretty popular here. We have a lot of upstairs, downstairs with a single 3-ton. So they'll zone the upstairs and downstairs. So we see that a pretty good bit. So a lot of people are kind of getting into the mindset. They understand that they have one outdoor unit. That helps out a lot. The question that I waited till later was, Bill asked me to ask you why you use Jackson Systems to name your company. Are you a fan of Michael Jackson or Jackson Pollock? Hey, I mean, I couldn't imagine Bill asking. It's kind of out of Bill's character. So
as far as Michael Jackson goes, well, he is from Indiana.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Yeah, they're from Gary, Indiana, but near Chicago. So not too far, although I don't claim to be able to dance like Michael Jackson could for sure or sing.
Does anybody wear a glove around the office?
Not that I've seen.
You need to get one. Yeah.
Probably a good thing. And to be quite honest, on the other one, this Jackson Pollock, I had to look it up because I had never heard of him. However, I guess I should have. I learned that he was quite the artist, and he is in fourth position for the most expensive artwork ever sold at $202 million.
Holy cow. I didn't know that.
It was crazy. He was ahead of Picasso and Rembrandt.
Wow, and he didn't have to cut his ear off.
Yeah, and he didn't have to cut his ear off. He does this drip painting where you like you stand above the artwork and you let paint drop, and it's so I'm gonna have to get with Bill on that and find out.
Leave it to Bill to throw something like that in there.
I mean, I've heard there's lots of famous Jacksons out there, but that one I hadn't heard of. But I've gotten an education since him sending that question in. So
yeah, I know Bill makes you think. I mean, you listen to his podcast and it's like, dang, Bill, yeah. Making me think. I don't listen to this podcast to think.
He is one intelligent individual for sure.
He is. Now, are you going to Chicago? Talking about Bill, I know that he's going to Chicago in January, and as am I and Brian.
Oh, yes, we will be there.
Do you actually have we all have a booth there?
Well, we do have a booth. It's under our IO HVAC Controls brand, which is the brand that we take through wholesale distribution. But we will definitely be there. So if you just look up IO, we will definitely be there. So
that will be in January of 2018, if you're listening to this in the very far future past it. It's the, 22nd through 24th?
I believe so, yes. The other show, you know, the AHR Expo, or a lot of people refer to it as ASHRAE, is a lot more commercial focused than the residential side. It's a lot more engineers. There's lots of big boilers and chillers. The other show that we do that's more residentially focused is the ACCA show, which this year it's in Washington, D.C. at the Gaylord National.
And that's in 2018?
That's in 2018 at the end of February. Jackson Systems, we're always looking for opportunities. If your local association is having a trade show or wants us to come in, do training, or provide a speaker, we do travel all around the country. So if there's guys out there listening, if it fits everybody's schedule, we would love to come and talk to whoever and provide what insight we can into the industry and so forth. So,
okay, cool. So there's a few questions that you don't know about. And just to be full disclosure for everybody, I let Tom know the questions I was going to ask most of them anyways beforehand. I don't like to blindside people too much with things. I like to twist the questions up a little bit, but I save a few of them at the end.
Uh-oh.
And I'm going to call this the mastery round, since, you know, spinoff on the title of the podcast. So really quick, I want you to answer these as fast as you can. So you're my guinea pig on this, okay?
All right, I'm ready.
Question number one is, what did your childhood smell like?
Campfire, because of my involvement with Boy Scouts.
Good deal, good deal. Okay. Number two, when or what was a choice or decision that you had said no to, but looking back, you wish you had said yes?
It probably would have been revolved around an opportunity to hire a salesperson that we didn't hire. Because I think if we would have been a little more focused early on the sales aspect, I think that would have led us to even greater success than we've already had.
Perfect. Good deal. Do you remember that salesperson or just in general?
I do. There's one that really comes to mind, though, I guess.
Yeah, cool. Okay, so now number three, if you were not in the HVAC industry, what would you be doing?
Probably some sort of computer programming. I was actually really good back in when I was in college. I was actually even a teaching assistant for a short stint on, and that was obviously before we had the internet and apps and all that. But for whatever reason, my mind was able to logically put the steps down in order to make things happen on computers. So
really cool. Yeah. You and Brian Orca team up together. He made his dispatching program for his whole company.
Wow. Yeah. That's impressive. That's much more ambitious than I am.
I know, right? He was telling me about it and everything that it does. And I was like, great, time of day. I was like, man, you got a lot of time on your hands.
Yeah.
Between that and your company and your podcast and your nine kids and everything else. I was like, geez, I'm struggling juggling four kids.
Yeah.
All right. So number four kind of sounds morbid, but it's not supposed to be. So you passed away and your eulogy is being given. What do you hope is being said? What do you want people to remember? And what song will be sung? So it's kind of like three questions in one.
I guess because I'm so blessed with everything in my life, I hope that people would say, yeah, Tom was someone that was really concerned about other people and really wanted to help other people enjoy life. So that would be, I guess, what I would like for people to say about me. That's a hard question because I hope that I'm humble and I don't.
It's that question that make you think, oh man, what about this song?
My favorite song is obscure. It's from the 1980s. It's called Melt With You by Modern English, which is kind of a upbeat song.
Cool. I've never heard of either one of them.
But I also, being a Hoosier from Indiana, I was a huge fan of John Mellencamp, and I've always loved the song Pink Houses.
Well, that's cool.
I also, because of my love of nature, I enjoy John Denver. So kind of all over the place there. Got some classic rock and some kind of country-ish and then some alternative.
So. There you go. That's really cool. All right. So we're going to wrap things up now. If somebody's trying to get in touch with you, other than just going to Jackson Systems on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
The best way is via email, which is just tom.jackson@jacksonsystems.com. And I can give out my cell phone number, which is 317-440-6599.
Man, you're being generous there.
But I will say, one reason why I prefer email is I'm on the road quite a bit, and I'm usually in a meeting or, you know, we're talking with a contractor. So me answering my cell phone sometimes is a challenge. So email usually works best, but my cell phone number, I'm always happy to give it out. I want to make sure that I'm easy to work with and get a hold of. And a lot of times if someone contacts me, I'll get a hold of our people here and turn it over to them just because they have a lot more knowledge about the details of using the software or whatever than I do. But yeah, absolutely. Whatever method, I like to be easy to get a hold of.
So on that note, if he doesn't answer the first time, don't keep calling him. He's probably in the meeting.
Yeah. I promise we'll get you called back.
All right, Tom, I thank you for taking some time out your day and answering these questions for me and everything.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate it very, very much. We're very thankful for the opportunity.
Yes, sir. You have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
Okay, you made it to the end of the podcast episode. I want to send a special thank you to Tom and everybody at Jackson Systems, along with a special thank you to Brent Ridley for introducing Tom to Zach and Ralph so he could be on their podcast to get the ball rolling on getting Tom on podcast episodes in general. As you can tell, Tom is full of information and he thinks outside the box. He considers ways that the business owner can make money and do things easier. So help ease a burden of work plus making things simple and making money, it's a recipe for success. So a special thank you to everyone at Jackson Systems and everything that you do to help us as business contractors, business owners. Please make sure that you follow us on Facebook, Instagram, join our Facebook group. You can like the page, but join the Facebook group too so that we can continue to have interaction in the Facebook group. Follow our Instagram page. It's just Service Business Mastery. We try and post things pretty much daily on there. Also, I want to say, if you're on Instagram, make sure you're following everybody in the Blue Collar Roots Network. I know the Tool Pros, they have a pretty large following. They're constantly posting things on there. So I'd recommend following those guys also. With that being said, I want to thank everybody for listening to the podcast and subscribing and leaving reviews, all the reviews that we've gotten. I want to say a special thank you to everyone who has left a review. That's a 5-star rating, and I want everyone to have a great week, and I will talk to you again next week.